MZTV.
Okay, before I read to you one of the most amazing passages of Scripture, I mean the most unlikely, brain-blasting, credulity-testing, monumentally ignored, hardly known by anyone besides members of the body of Christ, and even some of them don't properly appreciate it, verses in the entire Scripture. Before I do all that, I'm going to say that the conference in Kansas City was just great. Record number of people, 75 people at the conference in its heyday on Saturday. And so I can once again thank the conference organizers, Paula Thomas, Mark Haugus, Greg Davis, for organizing it. Everyone had a terrific time. The testimonies were all just stellar, and it can be difficult, you know, to return to a normal life because it's so wonderful to see the saints. Robert Lakey, I thank God that Robert Lakey was there. I mentioned that before when I found out Robert was coming. Robert, as you know, comments every day. We're all always benefited by Robert's comments, but he seems to always find a way to disagree with Zender just a little bit. And we've actually had our falling out, but we really became closer after that. But I never met the man. I met him for the first time at the meet and greet on Friday. And I'm telling you, it was so great because I found out. I didn't know this before. You sometimes don't find these things out until you meet people in person. He's just as emotional about the Word of God as I am. He details his walk and things about God, and he's overcome with emotion. I got the same problem, as you know. So it's not a problem, actually. It's just a reaction to the greatness of God. I asked Robert to give his testimony on Saturday night, and what a testimony it was. I think I'm going to play it soon here. If you didn't see it during the live stream, I'm going to put it on the show. We're going to make it part of MZTV and also the other testimonies, which were great. I love hearing how people got to where they are. Like, I like to ask people, like, how did you end up at this conference? You know, all the events that brought people to this place, I'm always very curious about, very interested in. So, and the Amish family, I'm sorry, I don't remember names. There was a beautiful Amish family at the conference. It's astounding, really, because the Amish aren't generally known for grasping onto the gospel of grace, especially not the salvation of all, especially not the two gospels, especially not the true meaning of death. I mean, the Amish community as a whole are Christian down the line, very conservative Christian, obviously. Not this family. Oh, not this family. The grace of God penetrated that general cult mentality. All religious mentality is cult mentality, not just the Amish mentality, but the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Evangelical, Catholic, obviously, you name it. But, these kids were so cute. Here's some video. The only name I remember is Leanne. Leanne was the 9-year-old, and she was so great. I'll tell you why. There's a little bit of a backstory here. Dan Autry purchased 200 copies of Christianity's Final Solution, my book, the little handy paperback book that we're using to introduce people to these truths. And he had them shipped to the conference, 200 copies. And the idea was, I was going to do the same thing at this conference as I did in Georgia. I was going to sign every one of them, and so that people could take as many as they thought they could distribute back home and stealth evangelize, drop them off in the bathroom or at doctor's offices or at the bus stop or at the library, the bookstore, wherever stealth evangelism is sold. And so I was explaining the whole thing. It's like, we got a big project ahead. I'm going to sign all these books, and then we're going to distribute this, introduce people to the truth. Let's bring the last member into the body of Christ. Well, Leanne, this 9-year-old girl, comes up to me and says, Martin, I'd like to take some of those books because I think I can distribute some at my school. Ho ho, yeah. This young lady is a warrior for the truth. She's a revolutionary. I just love her. And when it came time for the assembly line, I needed somebody to open up the books so I could sign, open up to the proper page so I could sign them. And then one person took off the autographed copy stickers on the front of the book and put them on the book. And then it was a whole assembly line of getting these books all stacked up, you see. And I knew Leanne really wanted to help, and I gave her an important job. She was in charge of opening them. Here's some of the video here. She was in charge of opening the books and handing them to me, and she was like a machine. I couldn't keep up with her. I could not keep up with her. Later on, she came up to me and said, Martin, you know, I really don't need that to take that many books. I think 16 will do it. 16 books she wanted. Let me tell you, she's 9 going on 19. Leanne is. So thank you, Leanne. You are just great. Thank you for your help. And to everyone else you see in the video there, those who peeling off the stickers, putting them on the books, stacking the books, and for those who took them home, go for it. Distribute these books because we hit Christianity at its weakest point, which is eternal torment. I brought the whiskey just in case my voice goes. You know, I spoke 5 times and I did all the intermediate speaking. I introduced all the speakers and I commented on speakers. And I thought my voice would go, but really it held steady. Steady as she goes. Yes, that could be because there was whiskey at the conference. For medicinal purposes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. So that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh. Yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless, now we know him so no longer. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. I'm warming up to it. It's coming up. Verse 18. Yet all is of God. Here it is. It's almost here. All is of God who conciliates us to himself. It's very important that we get the right translation here. Because the wrong translation misleads us. The King James says, reconciles us. But that word is not here. It's a more complex word, reconcile. This is a word without the prefix. This is conciliates. It's one way. Conciliation means peace. Reconcile means a two-way peace. There are two parties who have been reconciled. You have to have all parties connected on the same page for there to be reconciliation. Conciliation is one-sided. So all is of God who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. That is this truth that God is at peace with us. We are to dispense it like a Coke machine dispenses Coke. We are to dispense this. Is there more details here, Martin? Are there more details, I should say? Yes, verse 19, how that God was in, here's how it happened. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. God became at peace with the world, but it's one way, it's Godward toward the world. One way peace. God conciliated the world to himself. Well, that was a radical thing. Yes, it was, and it was a radical thing that caused that to happen. God was in Christ. Where? At the cross. It was the cross of Christ, our Lord's suffering on the cross for 6 hours, and the previous humiliation and the beating and the spit and the striking him in the face, all these awful, terrible things. By his stripes we are healed. It was his agony. It was his torture to take away sin for our sake that was a just thing for God to do because this was God's judgment against sin. It wasn't his judgment against the sinners. It was his judgment against sin itself. God took away sin itself through Christ. It's very important to note because you would think people are taught, I was taught as a kid that God was furious at the sinners. And instead of punishing the sinners for their sin, you stupid sinners, we had a surrogate stand in. And Christ took the punishment for us. Well, I can't hit every single sinner, so I'll just hit my son multiple times and I'll pretend it's the sinners. That is sick. That puts God and Christ at cross purposes, no pun intended there. But this is what happened. God was attacking sin. This was a gift he was giving to sinners. This was something he was doing for sinners through Christ. And he wasn't mad at Christ either. He wasn't mad at us. He wasn't mad at Christ. He wasn't hitting Christ instead of us. He was taking away sin. Sin is such a gnarly, hairy, smelly, awful thing that this is what it took. It's sin that God hates. And so he did away with sin. He did away with the thing. If we can personify it with a capital S, the thing. Really, I think you could probably say the mortality, because it's mortality that produces sin in human beings anyway. So it is God who conciliates us, made peace to himself through Christ. God was in Christ, back to verse 19, conciliating the world, not just us, but the world, conciliating the world to himself. And this is what's involved with that, not reckoning their offenses to them. No longer reckoning their offenses to them. What does Christianity say? What is their so-called gospel? The first thing they do is they reckon offenses. You're a dirty sinner going to hell. You're going to hell. You're doomed. You dirty, rotten sinner. You're going to hell. How do I get out of it? Say the sinner's prayer. Cry. Be repentant. Oh, repent, repent, repent. Come to church every Sunday. Come to Wednesday night Bible study. Get baptized. And obey the Ten Commandments. And do everything Jesus told you to do. Give everything away to the poor. If somebody asks for your t-shirt, give him your shirt, your tennis shoes, your pants, and your underwear. Do everything. What would Jesus do? He would give away his underwear. I want you to give away your underwear and your socks. Don't forget your socks. Be like Jesus. Oh, is that all I have to do? If you do that, then you'll be in good shape. If you don't do it, you're doomed. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. No, God is not reckoning offenses. This is the opposite of that, the truth, not reckoning their offenses to them. And can you believe that? No, it's true. How could we believe it if it weren't written down? Not reckoning their offenses to them. Who's them? The world. And placing in us the word of the conciliation. In other words, we have this message that God is now at peace with the world. Oh, the Christian world, again, challenges you. They don't know this is true. But we know it's true, and God places in us the word of the conciliation. God's at peace with you. This is how we start the evangel. Hey, sinner, it's all good. God's at peace with you. But don't I have to go to church? No. Don't I have to be? No. Don't I have to say this? No. But I thought I was, no, God's at peace with you now. You don't have to do anything. Jesus Christ saved you at the cross. He's not reckoning offenses. Isn't it the offenses that Christians say will send you to hell for eternity? How can you go to hell for eternity if God's not reckoning offenses to them? But it takes faith to believe this, and it takes God to give faith, but we have that word, and we're the only people on the planet who have that word. Everybody else challenges people. The religious people are always challenging you. You got to clean yourself up. You got to forsake all your sin. You have to go to church. You have to sacrifice. You have to cut yourself. Whatever. Every religion has a different list of things you have to do. Here's the result. Verse 20. For Christ then, again, I'm in 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ then, for Christ, for what he did, we are ambassadors. We are sent into the world as ambassadors. Right? Like, the United States sends ambassadors into foreign countries to represent the interests of the United States. God sends us into the world to represent his interests. What's his interest? Tell people that I'm conciliated to them. Will you please tell these people in the world that I'm at peace with them? I'm fine with them because of Christ, because of my son on the cross, and then I'm not reckoning their offenses to them. If they had a better opinion of me, they'd probably believe in me. Oh, yeah, that's true, God, yeah. If they had a better opinion of God, but they have a crappy opinion of God because of Christianity. You're saved by grace as long as you do this. God loves you as long as you love him back. All these false promises, and then they crush you with threats. But more people would like God if people knew the truth about God. We know the truth about God, but we're the only people who know the truth about God. And so we're the ones given this word. It's called the word of the conciliation. For Christ, then, are we ambassadors as of God entreating through us? That's the shock. As of God entreating through us. This. Do you realize what this is saying? God is invisible. He's not wearing flesh. He can't wear flesh. He's absolutely invisible, inaudible, intangible. He's spirit. And Jesus Christ, his son, has not shown up lately. Not been around for 2,000 years. So we're it. We are ambassadors. As of God entreating through us. God is entreating the world. Not at the moment through his son, Jesus Christ. But through us. Of course, we have the spirit of his son, Jesus Christ, in us. That's a big help. Couldn't do it without that. And we are beseeching for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. We're telling people, you might as well be conciliated to God. Why? Because he's conciliated to you. But see, unless they actually believe that God's at peace with them, they'll be mad. They'll be upset at the hypocrisy of a God who says he loves them, but's going to burn them in hell forever if they make a mistake. Who tells them they're saved by grace, but then here's a long list of things you have to do to be saved by grace. What hypocrisy. What utter diabolical hypocrisy. And the whole thing is ruined in verse 19 if you put reconcile. How the God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Reconciliation is two-way. How do you make this two-way when most of the world hates God? Most of the world can't stand God. Most of the world has run away from God because of the Christian message. That's why most people hate God, you know that? Because of the Christian message, because of their presentation of the false God. That's not the real God they're presenting. It's the false God. People have rejected God. They haven't even heard from God. They don't know anything about God. We're their only, quote, if I may, chance to hear God because we have the word of the conciliation. Explain that again, Martin. Yes, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. Tell that to people. God's not mad at you. God's not challenging you to be a good boy and a good girl. God has removed your sins. He's no longer offended by anything you do. What? Are you kidding? What do I have to do? Nothing. Is as you stand. As you stand, you don't have to change anything. Because while we are still sinners, Christ died for our sake. So, you know. And it's only after people receive this message, after hearing about the true God, that their lives start to change. Verse 21, last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the one not knowing sin, he makes to be a sin offering for our sakes, that we may be becoming God's righteousness in him. Yes, it's only after realizing the truth that you start to live good lives. Christians have it their way around. They say, you better live a good life, and then God will be nice to you. But this is the way it is. You have to find out that God's nice to you first before you can live a good life. Because who wants to serve a raging lunatic? Yeah, who does?